Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate batteries. Now, if you're like me, enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate batteries. I use Interstate batteries in my boats. I use Interstate batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today.
For all you elk hunters out there, chasing turkeys is basically the same thing. I know the reaction you just gave me, but don't knock it till you try it, and don't try it without OnX. The Hunt app will not only help you find new areas on public ground, but I use it to find out landowner info to get permission on private ground that I see birds on as well. OnX Hunt has a special offer for you. Use code CAL to receive 20% off your membership at onxmaps.com/hunt and find more birds this spring.
There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store, or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today.
From Meteor's World News Headquarters in Bozeman, Montana, this is Cal's Week in Review, presented by Steel. Steel products are available only at authorized dealers. For more, go to steeldealers.com. Now, here's your host, Ryan Cal Callahan.
A family of three was found dead at a remote Colorado campsite last month after relatives say the trio was trying to live off the grid. 42-year-old Rebecca Vance, her 14-year-old son, and her 41-year-old sister Christina Vance were found partially mummified in the Gunnison National Forest after a hiker stumbled across their tent in early July. Officials believe they'd likely been camping since July of last year and may have died during the winter. Their relatives say they had grown distrustful of the media and the modern world during the COVID-19 pandemic, and they were hoping to escape the dangers of modern society. But they reportedly had very little outdoor experience, and they found another set of dangers in the woods. Travala Jara, the sister of the two women, told the Washington Post they were relying on YouTube videos and online research to survive by themselves. They rejected offers to use an RV and a generator and instead tried to build a lean-to shelter. They were surviving on canned food, soup, and other prepackaged items, but they were unable to complete an insulated shelter by winter. The local coroner thinks they may have died due to starvation or extreme cold, but an official cause of death hasn't been announced. Jara says her sisters refused to tell her where they'd be, so when she didn't hear from them for several months, she wasn't able to find them. If you're going out into the woods, even if it's to live off the grid and away from society, it may be a good idea to let at least someone know where you'll be. It could be the thing that saves your life when your off-grid life doesn't pan out. This week, we've got the crimes desk, legislation, getting the lead out, and I don't mean Zeppelin. But first, I'm going to tell you about my week. In my week, it was packed as per usual. One of the most interesting and important things to happen was an order to deny a stay requested by the plaintiff Iron Bar Holdings in the Wyoming Corner Crossing case. That case, of course, has already been judged once, but if you recall, Iron Bar Holdings has filed an appeal. That appeal process will hopefully happen sometime this year. The 10th Circuit Court meets again in September. A stay of opinion is a request that can be made which essentially puts the original ruling on hold. In this instance, the stay was requested to be in place until the case could be reheard in the appeals court. Justice Skovdahl, in his judgment to deny the request for a stay of opinion, lays out the reasons one could be granted a stay, and then goes through each of those reasons and explains why he chose to deny the request. We're going to dig into this a whole lot deeper, as it is really interesting. But the takeaway that everyone should keep in mind is literally written into the end of the judge's order. Quote, the actions of a few can ruin the opportunities for many. Meaning that had the Missouri corner crossers behaved in any way other than respectful, law-abiding, and courteous, the stay of judgment could have been granted and the outlook on corner crossing a lot more dubious than it is right now. Hunting season is coming right up. Archery antelope is darn near here in Montana. Fall bear seasons rapidly approach. Early wilderness hunts, even depredation private land elk hunts start within a few days of listening to this podcast. Remember that everyone is excited for seasons and opportunities to start. Be patient, be polite. And if you are in Wyoming and you do intend to corner cross, be darn sure to know where you are. Know that rudeness, threatening behavior, or any intent other than moving from public ground to public ground could derail a more straightforward future with non-confrontational public access to public land for all of us. Please take a minute to read the order to deny the stay. We'll have it up at themeateater.com/Cal. There's some really great lines in there, if I do say so myself. And if you're in or near Wyoming and want to be more informed, TRCP and Wyoming BHA are hosting a series of listening sessions around the state. Next couple are conveniently located in breweries. If you know a landowner that could be interested in telling their side of the story, how corner crossing has affected them or could possibly affect them, please let them know and get them over to Evanston, Wyoming, Suds Brothers Brewing, 6 p.m. August 8th. Rock Springs, Wyoming, Square State Brewing, 6 p.m. August 9th. Blacktooth Brewing, 6 p.m. Casper, Wyoming, August 10th. I will be on the road to Buffalo, Wyoming for the nearest session to me just as soon as I get done talking to you. And for the last bit of housekeeping before we move on, as many of you are aware, I am on the International Board for Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. Our longtime leader, president, and CEO, Lan Tawney of BHA, has stepped down after 10-plus years at the helm. Lan was able to accomplish in just 5 short years what most people said could not be done. Grow a grassroots, member-driven organization from just a handful of people to over 50,000 members strong. BHA participates in stewardship projects, access projects, habitat restoration, but possibly what we're the best known for is advocacy on behalf of our wild places, our hunting and angling rights, and access to wild places. We're one of the very few organizations out there that will take anyone who is interested and give you the tools to be the best possible advocate for the things you love and your family loves to go out and do on the weekends or during those precious weeks of paid vacay. If you are interested in applying, go to backcountryhunters.org/careers. And here's a fun fact for you. If you choose to pursue this and get the job, I would then get to be one of your bosses. Doesn't that sound like fun?
Are we having fun yet?
Moving on to the crime desk. 7 men were charged in Illinois last week for killing more than 20 wild turkeys with AR-15 rifles equipped with thermal optics and suppressors. A 28-year-old ironically named Hunter Baxter and his 38-year-old buddy Dustin Goldsmith faced the worst of the charges, including several felonies. Their 5 hunting buddies were also charged with misdemeanors in connection to this poaching operation. And between the 7 of them, they face a whopping 63 charges. If these yahoos were using thermal optics to hunt turkeys, that means they were probably shooting them out of trees at night while the birds slept. As I've said many times on this podcast, I really don't have anything wrong with shooting a bird out of a tree if, you know, if that's your means of getting meat in a limited time frame. However, shooting probably solid core ammo, cheap 223 stuff into the air is not a good thing. Would be very dangerous, in fact. Jumping over to California, the National Park Service is investigating the mysterious death of 5 burros in Death Valley National Park. The wild donkeys had all been shot in the lower Wild Rose area of the park, and officials aren't sure who did it or why. Like wild horses or mustangs, burros are not native to North America. They were brought in by Spaniards in the 1500s, and they can damage sensitive ecosystems and compete for food with native animals like bighorn sheep. Despite these downsides, The U.S. Congress passed a law in 1971 designating wild horses and burros as, quote, living symbols of the historic and pioneer spirit of the West. Federal agencies are now in the difficult position of having to protect these invasive animals while also keeping them from destroying native habitat. This is not to say anyone is justified in gunning down wild donkeys in a national park, but it is true that burros, despite what you may have heard from at least one famous green ogre, are not entirely harmless.
We can stay up late, swapping manly stories, and in the morning, I'm making waffles.
Oh!
Speaking of mysteries, the Nebraska Game and Parks Commission is searching for the person who killed 6 elk last week and left them to waste. The carcasses of one bull, 3 cows, and 2 calves were found in Boyd County in the northern part of the state. Elk season does not start until August 1st, and there was no attempt to salvage any part of the animals. A $2,000 reward is being offered for information that leads to an arrest, and tips can be submitted anonymously by calling 1-800-742-7627. Thanks to listener Jonathan Greedy for sending us that story. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service plans to indict 2 Alaska men for their role in running an illegal bear guiding service that offered clients prostitutes and the chance to profit from selling bear gallbladders. That's right, prostitutes and gallbladders. Buckle up, folks. Investigators say that Jun Lang, who went by the English name Harry, advertised his supposed guiding services on a Chinese language app called Little Red Book. His clients were mostly other Chinese nationals who would travel to Alaska for the chance to kill a brown bear. This scheme caught the attention of Homeland Security, and they sent agents to contact Lang and pretend to be clients. Lang charged them each $30,000 for the hunt, and he immediately used some of that money to buy himself a Mercedes SUV. He got the undercover agent's bear tags by pretending that another man, Alaska resident Brian Phelan, was the brother-in-law of the 2 agents. He set up the agents in a hunting blind for 4 days, during which time they unsurprisingly saw no bears, but he did offer to secure prostitutes for the 2 agents and said he'd sell them a bear gallbladder for $5,000. Bear gallbladders have been used in traditional Chinese medicine for thousands of years. There's a big market for them in Asia, and we've referenced them before here on the show. Anyway, long story short, both Lang and Phelan have been arrested in June, and Lang was charged with attempted violation of the Lacey Act, illegal possession of a firearm by an alien, wire fraud, money laundering, and several others. If you'd like more of the interesting deets, check out the article by Eli Fournier on themeateater.com. The father of an NFL player admitted last week to killing a bald eagle that had been living in a Pittsburgh suburb. The U.S. Attorney's Office announced that 50-year-old Rodney Thomas had been indicted by a grand jury for violating the Bald and Golden Eagle Protection Act. His son, Rodney Thomas II, is a safety for the Indianapolis Colts. There are 1 million jokes I could tell about how the elder Thomas clearly has a problem with the Philadelphia Eagles, another NFL team, but I'm going to restrain myself. You're welcome. Anyway, Thomas reportedly turned himself in shortly after killing the bird with an air rifle in Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania. The bird was one of a pair that had been nesting in the area for the last 20 years. The eagles had raised several clutches of eaglets over the decades and were a favorite spectacle for local residents. It is unclear at this point what motivated the killing, but residents have been angry that the name of the perpetrator wasn't released for more than 2 months. I have serious doubts that being the father of an NFL safety gets you much special treatment, but I suppose stranger things have happened. In Texas, a Karnes County game warden was called to the scene of a man lying on the ground next to a dead deer, but the man wasn't dead. In fact, he wasn't even injured, at least not seriously. The witness who found the man had heard a shot from a nearby road and yelled to ask the shooter what he was doing. The shooter, who turned out to be a poacher and the aforementioned prone individual, ran into the woods. He later told the game warden that he'd had a few beers and decided to take home some venison. The beers convinced him that poaching was a good idea and, apparently, that he might be able to get away with it by playing possum. Which brings up the true victim here, possums. Possums eat ticks, they can get bitten repeatedly by rattlesnakes and live, we can get anti-venom from them, they're super cool critters. They should not be brought up in the same sentence as a no-good, dirty-down poacher. For all you elk hunters out there, chasing turkeys is basically the same thing. I know the reaction you just gave me, but don't knock it till you try it, and don't try it without on X. The Hunt app will not only help you find new areas on public ground, but I use it to find out landowner info to get permission on private ground that I see birds on as well. OnX Hunt has a special offer for you. Use code CAL to receive 20% off your membership at onxmaps.com/hunt and find more birds this spring.
Now, a lot of you guys are familiar with the old hunting tradition of eating, you know, some organ, the heart or a chunk of liver off the first animal you kill. I had that when I was a little kid, and it was a big deal. Organ meats were always prized by frontier people who knew the importance of getting a lot of different minerals and nutrients. And as often is the case, those guys were onto something, because organs are among the most nutrient-rich foods on the planet. And you can get the same benefits your ancestors craved via convenient daily capsules from Heart and Soil, made exclusively from regeneratively raised, grass-fed, and finished cattle. Heart and Soil's unique freeze-drying process means all those important nutrients are trapped in, ensuring you experience every one of the benefits of nature's superfood in a clean, convenient, taste-free capsule. Find out more at heartandsoil.co and make sure to use code MEATEATER for 10% off your purchase. That's heartandsoil.co. Use the code MEATEATER. There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store, or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today.
Moving on to the ammo desk. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service made waves last month when they announced a plan to phase out the use of lead tackle and ammunition at 8 national wildlife refuges. But state agencies are also making changes to how hunters are allowed to use lead ammunition. The Minnesota Department of Natural Resources announced this month that lead ammunition will be banned on certain state-owned lands starting this fall. The Minnesota Department of Natural Resources is justifying the decision based on their fear that animals like eagles, ravens, hawks, and bobcats will ingest lead fragments from bullets. In addition, they say lead ammunition left on the landscape can leach into soil and waters. The ammunition ban is limited to special hunts in state parks and recreation areas or scientific and natural areas where hunting is allowed. The DNR explains that, quote, hunting is not a primary purpose of state parks and SNAs, unless hunting is consistent with or helps manage the natural resources in those areas. The ban does not apply to state park youth deer hunts in the shotgun zones, as long as hunters remove all parts of harvested deer, including the entrails. This exception was made, quote, due to shortages in certain ammunition types. The good news for folks who like traditional lead ammo is that these areas represent less than 10% of DNR-managed lands in Minnesota. Ammunition will not be limited on wildlife management areas and state forests, which is where most of the state public hunting takes place. Still, the agency is not claiming to be banning lead to address any specific issue. They're not claiming that lead ammunition is having population-wide effects on any of the species they list in their press release. Given this lack of specificity, I'm not sure why they wouldn't roll out lead ammo bans on other state lands in the coming years. The state of New York also announced a multi-year initiative to study the impact of lead ammunition on bald eagles. The press release by the state's Department of Environmental Conservation admits that the bald eagle population is, quote, doing well in New York. Despite this conservation success, they're still looking for hunters to participate in a study to investigate, quote, the reduction in bald and golden eagle deaths that can be achieved from increased use of non-lead ammunition for deer hunting. They're offering a $60 rebate on non-lead ammunition or non-lead bullets for hunters who participate in pre- and post-hunt surveys this coming fall. Only hunters who were issued a deer management permit in certain wildlife management units are eligible to participate, and the DEC says it plans to offer the rebate through 2024 and 2025 seasons. The state currently allows hunters to use lead ammunition on state land, but the legislature is considering a bill that would ban it. A recent study found that lead ammunition could be harming adult bald eagles in the state between the years 1990 and 2018. The study estimates that lead killed 1 to 2 birds a year, but the eagle population in those years rose from 26 to 738, and they did not find that lead affected eaglet survival rates. They admit that their findings cannot be extrapolated to the entire state, which is likely why the DEC announced this new initiative. If you'd like to participate and get your free box of non-lead ammo, we'll post a link at themeateater.com/Cal. We talked about lead and raptors a lot. This is a personal decision I don't think the state should be weighing in on, particularly when raptors in these areas are on the rise on a population level. But as an individual, we make individual decisions. A big benefit to me for shooting solid copper ammo is the fact that I kill one thing that I intend to kill versus having a bunch of carrion eaters fly in there and fly away with lead in their gut, and then their highly acidic stomachs give them lead poisoning right away and they die a painful death. Again, that's an individual decision, and I can afford the non-lead ammo. There are other ways of disposing carcasses that will have the same effect as shooting copper ammo. So if you're in a place where you're taking stuff to a landfill or able to bury it, something like that, then you're in the clear. Moving on to the extraction desk. Speaking of controversial policies, the Bureau of Land Management announced last week that it will raise the cost for oil and gas companies to drill on federal public land. Starting in the year 2032, oil companies will pay 16.67% of their revenue to the federal government, up from the current 12.5%. Rents are also rising. Under the current system, companies have to pay $1.50 per acre each year for the first 5 years of a lease, and $2 per acre per year after that. The new system will encourage companies to relinquish leases by charging $3 per acre per year during the first 2 years, $5 per acre per year for the following 6 years, and then $15 per acre for every year after year 8. The BLM argues that this new leasing structure modernizes a program that was developed 60 years ago. They also frame it as a way to provide a fair return to taxpayers who, after all, own the land on which the oil and gas companies are working. Whether those taxpayers see any benefit from that increased revenue is another question, but the money is supposed to fund federal and state programs that benefit everyone. As you can imagine, oil and gas companies aren't happy. The American Petroleum Institute released a statement slamming the Biden administration for adding barriers to future energy production during a global energy crisis. The rule will increase costs and uncertainty for producers, and it will hurt our country's ability to independently meet our energy needs. Though the BLM doesn't mention climate change anywhere in its press release, opponents of the new rule say it's a thinly veiled attempt to cut oil production and advance the president's climate change agenda. I know this issue is larger than wildlife and habitat, but this is a conservation podcast, so that's what I focus on. From that perspective, this new rule checks a few positive boxes. For one thing, as the Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership points out, increasing rental rates will cut down on something called speculative leasing. When rental rates are low, oil and gas companies lease land with no real potential for economically viable oil and gas production. They aren't likely to drill, but they want to reserve the land just in case they might in the future. According to the TRCP, this prevents the BLM from being able to effectively manage that land for other important multiple uses that may not be compatible with oil and gas. The rule addresses this issue by raising the rental rates and by prioritizing leasing in places with existing oil and gas infrastructure or high production potential. Remember, other leasing operations out there, right, can include public land outfitters, grazing operations, and, you know, ideally, sometime in the future, habitat work. In addition, the BLM is raising the amount of money oil companies have to pay up front to cover the cost of cleaning up a well if they abandon it. This is called a bond, and it was set in 1960 at $10,000 for each lease. The new bond amount will be $150,000 for a single lease or $500,000 for a statewide lease. This will hopefully disincentivize companies from abandoning wells and make sure taxpayers don't have to foot the bill for a well cleanup. And since we all know that the wheel of time grinds slowly in federal agencies, I think it's good if we don't have to rely on the feds to clean up oil wells. Whatever you think about this new rule, you have a chance to share your thoughts. There will be a 60-day comment period during which folks can submit online comments, and the agency is also planning a series of public meetings. The details on those haven't been published yet, but we'll be sure to get those on the meateater.com/Cal as soon as they are. I do want to ask you this, in regards to this, anybody pays attention to real estate. Have you ever come across a deal where you can lease ground for $3 per acre a year for 2 years, or $5 per acre a year for 6 years, and then $15 per acre for every year after that? No. The answer is no, you have not. That seems pretty darn cheap, and that's the increased rates. Moving on to the legislative desk. In South Dakota, the Game Fish and Parks Commission is considering expanding the areas in which hound hunters can go after mountain lions. Current South Dakota regulations limit lion hunting with hounds to Custer State Park. One of these petitions could expand hound hunting to all public land outside the Fire Protection District without the need to start on private land. The other would expand hound hunting to the Fire Protection District of the Black Hills. These opportunities would be for residents only, and the harvest would be limited to 6 males and 6 females. Petitioners argue that the state's lion population is robust and growing, and hound hunting would encourage lions to stay away from humans. The commission agreed to adopt the second petition that would expand hunting to the Black Hills, and they sent it to the Game, Fish, and Parks Department for suggested changes. They'll consider those suggestions and make a final decision at their October 5th meeting in Deadwood. South Dakota hound hunters, this is your chance to do what almost no other states are doing. Expand the use of hunting dogs. Don't let it slip away. Get in touch with Game, Fish, and Parks Commission and let them know how you feel. We'll post contact info at themeateater.com/Cal. The House Appropriations Committee passed a bill that would cut the budgets of the Interior Department and related agencies by a whopping 35% from last year. For example, the bill would cut the Bureau of Land Management budget by 18%, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service budget by 13%, and the National Park Service by 13%. The Environmental Protection Agency would lose the most. The bill cuts the EPA's budget by 39%, including a 26% reduction in environmental programs and management. The U.S. Forest Service is one of the only agencies that receives a raise. They'll get $949 million more than last year, most of which will be used to manage wildfires. The 186-page bill also includes a ton of provisions that have nothing to do with money. For example, it prohibits listing the lesser prairie chicken under the Endangered Species Act, requires the Department of the Interior to reissue the 2020 rule delisting the gray wolf, and prohibits introduction of grizzly bears in the North Cascades ecosystem. It also prohibits the regulation of lead content in ammunition and fishing tackle, and blocks restrictions on hunting, fishing, and recreational shooting on federal lands. In addition, it would force the BLM to rescind their latest conservation lease rule and rescind the Biden administration's latest clean water rule. The bill does a lot of things, some good, some bad, but it's unlikely to pass both chambers of Congress in its current form. The House Appropriations Committee passed the bill on a 33-27 party line vote, Republicans in favor and Democrats against. The Democrat-controlled Senate passed their own version of this bill, and you can probably guess that it looked much different. Most agencies received more money than last year, including a $4 million raise for the EPA. The final version of the bill will be some sort of compromise. Both appropriations bills emphasize and fund wildfire suppression. Hopefully that means by being proactive with good forest management outside of wildfire season. That's all I've got for you this week. Thank you so much for listening. As per usual, write in to ASKCAL, that's AskCal, at themeateater.com, and let me know what's going on in your neck of the woods. And don't forget to go to www.steeldealers.com to find a local, knowledgeable steel dealer near you. They're going to get you set up with what you need, and they won't send you home with what you don't. Thanks again, and I'll talk to you next week. Outdoor adventure won't wait for engine problems. Things like hard starts, rough performance, and lost fuel economy are often caused by fuel gum and varnish buildup. Seafoam can help your engine run better and last longer. Simply pour a can in your gas tank. Hunters and anglers rely on Seafoam to keep their engines running the way it should the entire season. Pick up a can of Seafoam today at your local auto parts store or visit SeafoamWorks.com to learn more. That's SeafoamWorks.com to learn more. Hey, I just sat down with the owners and operators at Maui Nui Venison. They're on a mission to balance axis deer populations on Maui while giving back to the community and run a totally sustainable operation.
For folks like me who want to get your own meat but aren't always successful,
you can become a snack subscriber, get some axis deer sticks sent right to your door. Visit MauiNuiVenison.com. That's MauiNui. Venison.com and use promo code CAL for 20% off your first order.